Okay, Chevra, we're coming to the end of the sefer over the next shiur or two. Das Midas Echa, which, as I mentioned before, Yantiv will lead us in Mitzvah Shem into what we're going to be learning next, which is the Torah of Hizbaydidus. I have a sefer that we're going to be using together, Mitzvah Shem. And I don't know how we'll find out a way how to distribute that, how to get that to the. I have like 20 of them, something like that. No, not maybe 15, 20 of them. I'll be able to get the sefer to you. And let's pick up where we left off before Yantiv. We're on page Reish Nun Aleph. Let me just remind you of the sugi that we're in. Perek Tesvav, page Reish Nun Aleph, and Das Midas Secha. This, as you recall, is a perek that was really not. It's not part of this sefer of the where we spent the entire time learning about Yesod, the Yesod HaOfer. This is bichlal on the subject of midas, but it introduced us to a concept that we're familiar with, not with the term, but we're certainly familiar. We've been learning about this for years and years. Chaim shel, a life of Mida and a life of Eina Mida. We have always learned about Midas, but what does it mean, Eina Mida? Something which does not have a gvul. Mida means measurement. That's what we've been learning about. It's something that has a clearly defined Gvul, Amida. But we began this parak talking about, or a little bit into the parak, talking about the Gemara that tells us that Yerushalayim was destroyed because they were mamed everything on Midas Adin. Yerushalayim was destroyed, which is odd. Din is something that we live by. But we're in Parshas Bereishis. And Rashi, at the very beginning, the first thing we're taught in Chumash is that Olam B'Machshava, that Hashem conceived of creation B'Midas Adin, but then the way he went about creating the world was Eina Mida. It was Eina Mida. It was not, was not with the Midas Adin. It was with the Shittuf of Midas Arachman, which is also a Mida, of course, of the Midas. But the meaning of that is, when the Nevi'im spoke of the vision of the future, that Mir Hashem should be soon, of Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is going to be wide open. Now, we know that the walls of Yerushalayim are important as far as not just the aesthetics, but the Kedushas Ha'ir, the holiness, the sanctity of the city, and the halachas of Yerushalayim, and what could be eaten in Yerushalayim, what could be done in Yerushalayim, depend on the walls. Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim, according to the way it's understood by the tzaddikim, is not describing a physical reality. It's describing a metaphysical reality. And the metaphysical reality is one where Jews are no longer confined Sorry, somebody called. It went off. Somebody called. Sorry. He might call again, so I'll just do it again. Sorry. We are no longer confined. The metaphysical reality where we're no longer limited and confined to the gvulim, to the usual confinement and restrictions, not of halacha. We're always going to live by halacha. But being kept out of that inner world that is infinite. That is infinite. I spoke, really, that's what I was talking a little bit about by Simchas Torah at night, the talk that I gave before the Hakafis. About the Diras Kevan, Diras Aroi. We're talking a little bit about that, that Inyan, of Lifnim Mishuras Adin. That not everything is to be determined exactly by this particular boundary or gvul. The tachlis of our lives and the whole point of Pnimius HaTorah is to bring us into a reality that is that part that's called the Eina Midah Shebenefesh, that part of ourselves that's unlimited, that's infinite. That does not mean chas v'shalom to violate halacha. How this operates within halacha and together with halacha is not for now. In Chazal, isn't it? There's an interesting machlokes on the words Dvar Hashem. That what is exactly defined? What does that include, Dvar Hashem? So one opinion says Zu Halacha. One says Zu Nevuah. Zu Agoda. What's the Dvar Hashem? Nevuah is obviously the most expansive picture of Dvar Hashem, of Hashem's communicating with us, which is not just in the written word, and not just within the particular specific box, that framework of halacha. Even in halacha, there's a concept of hayras shah, like Eliyahu Hanavi on Har Carmel. There are things that are not necessarily fitting into the day-to-day framework. That world is Eina Mida. It's the world of Eina Mida. Eina Mida. And Eina Mida is what we're talking about now, where we were up to, is the fact that the capacity that you and I have to love each other, to love our families, to love Hashem, to love Torah, to love Am Yisrael, that capacity that we have to love comes from Hashem. It comes from Hashem. Hashem has one particular midah, the midah sachesed, that is the headquarters of that emotion of ahava, of love. Based upon a more scientific evaluation or analysis of love, if you could do such a thing, one would come to the conclusion that love is something which is limited. I can only love you to a certain degree. I can only love Hashem or my wife, my friend, my kid to a certain degree, and beyond that, I'm incapable of going beyond that gvul, beyond that border, that boundary. You remember what we ended with last time was the Gemara in Shabbos, where Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Matana tovi yeshli bebeis gnazai." I have a wonderful, precious gift in my treasure house, in my treasure, Beis Gnozai. The Shabbos Shema, and it's called Shabbos. And I want to give this gift to the Jewish people. Go tell them. Lech Vahidiyam. The Gemara in Shabbos that everybody knows. Go and tell them. So Rav Schwartz, this is where we're up to. We just finished at the bottom of Reish Nun. So Rav Schwartz was saying that the typical understanding of this is that Hashem has this thing called Shabbos, and he wants us to have a piece of that. He wants us to have a piece of Shabbos. So whoever's interested in this gift can go and pick it up. Like, you know, the Chevah is going to pick up all the food that's being distributed by the government. You go to the pickup place and you get that piece of Hashem's love that's called Shabbos. And enjoy. Enjoy the kugel, enjoy the davening, enjoy the zmirs. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy the day off. Enjoy being with your family. Enjoy being with your chavayim. If you got a bigger piece, yofi. Got a smaller piece, to the, you know, whatever you can take, that's what you get. That way of understanding is called Min Hamida. There are portions. Kilo Hashem is giving out portions of Shabbos. And when Hashem gave each and every one of us the capacity to love, he gave each and every one of us a certain limit, a package, a gift of how much Beryl can love and how much Shmerel can love and how much Sarah and Rivka Rochel can love. And he gave each one of us, just like he gave us Shabbos, he gave us the capacity to love. Each person got a gift from Hashem. It's called the Shabbos. And another gift that's called Ahava. And Hashem gives out these presents because he loves us. But look at the bottom of page Reish Nun, where he brings from Rav Nosson Vachtvogel, the Mashgiach, the Olav Shalom from Lakewood. I think that's who he was referring to, not to Rav Solomon, Yibol Mecham Lechaim, I'm not sure. Aval Mashgiach, the Yeshivas Lakewood, Bia Shakavana B'diyuk Hafuch. Lo Shekadosh Baruch Hu Rotza, Hoitzi Es Amatanami Beis Genazov, V'lo Seis Osa Liyisrael. This is a huge point, Chavah. It's a huge point. It's not, the meaning of this Gemara, the Mashgiach said, is not that Hashem has this gift and says, okay, Chavah, here's Shabbos, come to the distribution place, I'm giving out Shabbos at Har Sinai, wherever, come to the place that Hashem took out from his treasure. Hashem has this treasure, and he pulled out this amazing thing called Shabbos, and he said, okay, here's one of my treasures, it's a fantastic thing, it's called Shabbos, come and get it. That's not it. Elohu roitzel lahachnis oisom lebeis gnozov pejreshon and aleph. This is where we were up to. That's not what it means. The Gemara means, what the Mashgiach says is such a deep point. What the Gemara means is that Hashem is saying, I have a gift in my treasure. My. Now, when Hashem says me, my, remember, we're talking about the one who is infinite, right? Ein Sof. Hashem's love is infinite. Shabbos is infinite. So it's not that Hashem pulled out something from his box and dropped it off into the finite world and said, you want something that's called Shabbos, you can enjoy it, go get it, come get it. No. The Mashgiach says that the meaning of the Gemara is, go and tell, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell my people, go tell the Jewish people, that they are invited into Beis Gnozai. The king is inviting them into his royal treasury. And in the royal treasury, right now, not everything, they're not going to be able to touch, like in the Lahavdil Elf Alphabet in the museum. They're not going to, but I'm inviting them into the royal treasury to receive Shabbos. Horotze si estam shu b'matana aval heichan b'soich beis gnozai. And I want you to delight in this gift of Shabbos together with me in this secret hidden place for the rest of the world. Well, nobody else is allowed from the outside world. Come into Beis Gnozai and have Shabbos with me. In my royal chamber, in my royal treasury, have Shabbos together with me. Enjoy Shabbos with me. Ma ha'oimek ha'tomer midvar. This insight of the Mashgiach is extraordinary. It's one of those insights that when you, after you hear it, you realize that you never ever even began to understand that Gemara. I'm sure each and every one of you feels and hears the difference between the king taking out something from his hidden place and giving it to you at your address, dropping it off, or curbside, whatever, however you get it, as opposed to the king saying, Kumarain, come over here with me into the Geniza, into my hidden chamber. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Before we go further in understanding this Chiddush, probably the greatest disciple, it's safe to say, the greatest Talmud, the greatest chassid of the Baal HaTanya, was Rabbi Arla Sterschelli, Yeshus Yigalainu. The Yahrzeit was 2 weeks ago. Rabbi Arla Sterschelli. If Sadiq is Adoylam, Goin Ha Goinim, Rabbi Arla Sterschelli. Almost 29 years ago, when I began, I was giving upstairs in the house some shiurim by way of introducing the Chevet Chassidus. Those were shiurim and some of the Torahs of Rabbi Arla Sterschelli. I don't know if they're on any tape, by the way. But Rabbi Arla Sterschelli has a Hagdama, the Sha'arei Yichud V'Emunah, which is his explanation of the Baal Tanya Sha'arei Yichud V'Emunah in Tanya. And there in the Hagdama, one of the issues that Rabbi Arla is addressing is the issue of where do people like us, how do people like us come off studying Kabbalah? It's a big question. Like, who are we? That's one of the main topics of the discussion in his introduction to the Sha'arei Yichud V'Emunah. And without going into that Hagdama is earth shattering and needs to be learned the Iyun Rav at length, the Iyun Rav. And Mitzvah, at the right opportunity, will do that. But one of the Mishalim, I'm only going to give you a little piece of the Mishal, that Rabbi Arla uses to explain why are things different. Why are things different now than they were before? How come for years there wasn't a part of the curriculum of Am Yisrael, just great tzaddikim, hidden tzaddikim geniuses? And what about the fact that there are so many warnings that studying these things are going to could potentially harm people and so on? So as part of one of them, some I'll just mention, Rabbi Arla spoke about the changing tkufis in time, periods of time, and what's going on now before Mashiach, and how there's a very big difference between people who are allowed to have a look from a distance at some of the beauty of the king's palace, as opposed to those who are actually invited inside. I don't know if any of you ever went on the tour of the White House. My wife and I did that around 20 years ago. We went to Washington and we did this tour of the White House. We actually stood outside in line, which I was annoyed because it was like 95 degrees and I was wearing my whole lavush and there was an anti-Semite right behind us. But my wife wanted to go into the White House and I said, okay, we'll go. And they showed us like two rooms, you know. I thought I was going to go see like, you know, where George Washington had to show this. I don't know where. I thought I was going to go like see something choshev. It's like a whole, it was like a scam. Mamsha scam. Didn't see anything. A couple of paintings in some room on the outside, but where only the, probably only the maids are allowed to go. So they didn't take a slip knife or lift them. There was no danger in any kind of a misunderstanding of what's going on inside the palace if you're not shown anything but the outside of the palace. There's a huge difference between, maybe you could do me a favor, Shmuel or somebody. Moshe Sidibam just sent me an important thing that somebody was nifter, but please tell him I'm in the middle of giving the shiur. Could you do that to send Moshe Sidibam a message? I'm in the middle of giving a shiur. I can't call now. I don't know how to do that. There's a huge difference. Between a person who is given a gift from the palace while he's standing outside the palace, and somebody from the palace shows him something or gives him something, as opposed to the one who is invited in to the palace. and becomes an part of that inner world, the inner chamber of the king. Shabbos is not Shabbos. The secrets of Kabbalah don't affect a person who's watching from the outside. And for whatever reason, which he talks about there, why is it that now we're being invited inside? That's not for our conversation at this moment. He talks about there. But there's a huge difference. If you're not prepared, if you're not ready and you're invited inside, that can cause terrible confusion. But as a spectator from the outside, nothing's going to happen to you. When Hashem invited us in to receive Shabbos, and to partake of that gift together with him in his base gnosim, in his treasury, whatever that is, it meant that he was bringing us into a reality that's called Ein Amida, limitless, without measure. But Shabbos is called Nachla B'li Mitzarim. Shabbos is something that's called unlimited. Hashem didn't just give us pieces of love. Hashem has given us the ability to be able to access his infinite love, to be invited into his inner chamber. It's Ein Min Amida. Now, we discussed how in the Beis HaMikdash there were things that didn't work out with the Midas of the Beis HaMikdash. Physically, it wasn't possible that the Aron should fit into that space. Because when you get into that, when you get into the world of Eina Mida, so then you're no longer confined to the very boxed in, limited constraints of normative reality. There's something else that's happening. A Navi is a different kind of human being. It's not like he's a regular guy that could tell the future. I've met people that know how to tell some things in the future. Some of you have met some real ones and mostly phony ones that could predict certain things. A Navi is not just a person who can predict the future. A Navi is a different gavra. It's a different person. That's why, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, when a Navi would have Nevuah, his physical presence would collapse. It was a different world. It's not Min Amida. It's not part of the regular way of living in this world. So now let's continue a little bit to understand this. Maha Omek Atomu Midvarim, page Reishnu Na'alev. The Pashtus, Kshakadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan L'Kol Echad Mi'itanu Es Midas Ahava. In Pashtus, when Hashem gave each one of us the Mida of Ahava, of love, Peyush Adover, Shahais Etzlo, Komus Bilti Gvulis Shel Ahava. Holokach Kimtzutz Shel Ahava, V'som B'Kol Echad Mi'itanu. Zui HaTfisa HaShitchis. The superficial way of understanding this, that Hashem gave us this midah that's called chesed, is that he took something out from his infinite midah. He took a certain portion, in other words, 0.00000001 percentage of his infinite love, and he gave me and you little piece of his infinite love. He gave me and you that little piece of his infinite love. That's a very superficial way of looking at it. That's not the Pnimius Advar. Hashem didn't take a little piece of his infinite love, 0.00001, and put it into me and you. Elohu lokach oisanu, rather, it's the other way. He took us on a trip. Hu lokach oisanu, he took us, v'hechnisanu l'toich oylam ahavishalai, and he brought us into his domain, into his world of love. By midas ha'ahava shelo, vaday shehi bilti gvulis. Now we're in the palace. We're in a place that's bilti gvulis, that's ein sof. It's not that I have a little like to, you know, you gave the dog a little piece of your supper. That's not how it happened. Hashem didn't give a Jew a little piece of his supper. Hashem invites a Jew into his Suda Shlishis. You understand? Hashem invites us into his Shalosh Sudas. It's an entirely different way of looking at life and at the world. Therefore, that love that I have inside of me is infinite. Because I'm one of the Bnei Bayis. That's what we say by Eskinus Sudosa. The Mahemanusa. L'merzeh zivdezer anpin. Hashem, you invited me into your royal meal. Just get this here for a second. I think I have a half a million swarm. I'm going to find a sitter over here someplace. One second. Okay, Lubavitcher said they don't have the whole shoulder shoot this. One second. This was the old one, doesn't have. All right. Anyway, I don't have it in front of me. Lumer Zeziv de Zeranpin means that Hashem has asking us to ask Mahimut to Shem Sachervas the Malka Kedisha. Shem Sachervas the Malka Kedisha. This is the meal, the joyous meal of Malka Kedisha. What's after that? Gabby said over there. Unmuted, Shmuel, you have a sitter? Those mirrors.
Yeah.
Yohain Hacha Bahai Taka. Just speak a little bit from the beginning. Askin Sudasa.
Askin Sudasa, the main news. Shlema Sahar Vasa, the Malka Kadisha. Askin Sudasa, the Malka. Dahi Sudasa, Sudasa Zerampin.
Dahi Sudasa Zerampin, yeah.
Batika Kadisha. Bahakatapuchin Kadishin.
Asin Lasada Bahadei. We're sitting down to have this meal together with Kivyochel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of it, not, I mean, it's all, of course, that's the Lashon of the Arizal. But we're sitting down to have this meal together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about that with Zeranpin, but that means not going into it right now. But we're sitting down to have this meal together with Kadosh Baruch Hu. We sit at the table with Hashem as Baruch. That is an experience that is implanted inside each and every one of us. That's something that's inside of us. Hashem invited us into that world that's called Shabbos, that's called Ahava. Haimidas ahava shlo vaday shi bilti gvulis. It's without any midas, it's without any limitations. Himkein gam ahava shenimtes bekirbeinu. Therefore, the ahava that you and I have inside of us, betzem hi enene gvulis. Betzem hi enene gvulis. Betzem, it's not limited. We, unfortunately, only see the chilek hagvul shel ba'ahava. we like with everything else in, regarding who we are, we underestimate ourselves. We're not familiar with that. We don't know that. And we sell ourselves short. We only see chelik ha'gvul shabbat. We only see that chelik of the ahava that's bigvul. Avla ahava atzma and then a gvul, but the ahava itself is without gvul. In other words, you and I, each one of us, we could be Nevi'im. We have ancestors that were Nevi'im. You and I have the capacity to be Nevi'im. We don't see that in ourselves. We don't see that we have such. We're trying just not to do averus and to do a couple of mitzvahs, you know. We don't see someone says, hey, would you like to be a Navi? We're opening up a school called B'nai HaNavim. You want to join us? You want to be a Navi? No, I'm just trying to get up for Shachris. I don't know what you're talking about. But that's not because we're not capable of it. We're capable of it. Every single one of us is capable of, it's brought down the Rambam, of, if not Moshe Rabbeinu Karev, close to Moshe Rabbeinu, every one of us. Each one of us is capable of being Nevi'im. It's not a matter of telling the future. That's the least of being a Navi, the fortune telling. That's the smallest part of being a Navi, is telling the future. The whole inyan of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is to return us to that world of Nevuah, not fortune telling. That will be when Mashiach comes. That's something else. That's a certain part of it. But to be able to come into contact with the part of ourselves that is Einam and Hamida. That's Einam and Hamida. That takes a person completely beyond what he thought his limitations are in davening, in learning, in ruchnius, in Zavodas Hashem. In loving each other, and loving one's children, and loving Hashem, and loving Eretz Yisrael, and loving another Jew. Marshal Ma'adavadayme. Yeshno Shulchan Ba'erech Shnei Meter. You have a table that's 2 meters long. Chatzi Me'a Shulchan, Mechusa. Half of the table is covered. So a person doesn't see the whole 2 meters of the table. He only, half of it is covered. He sees just 1 meter. So are there two tables over here? Vade shalom. These are not two tables. Zeu shulchan echad she'adam roya chatzi mimenu. It's one table, but you only see half of it. Like the people that are outside the palace or standing on, you know, or going into one room of the White House. That's not the whole White House. That's not the whole palace. You're seeing a piece of it. You're seeing a piece of it. That doesn't mean that all that's there in the room is a piece. It just means that half of it is covered. That's all it means. It's all there. But half of it is covered. You and I are Nevi'im. But the vast majority of that is covered. Sometimes maybe when you're saying a real Chadaydi or a Ne'ila, so then for a second you might have a little bit of that spark. But it's all there. It's just that it's covered. Now, the inyan of the Baal Shem Tov and of the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon, is that Hashem wants us now to, and gives us the ability to pull the tablecloth further back. You understand, Chavre? To pull the tablecloth of the table, the covering, to pull it further back. And to be able to get a bigger picture of that reality that our neshamas knew before they were sent into the guf. To connect us again to a bigger part of the table. The table's here. Nevuah, we have all of the equipment, we have all of the kalim to be Nevi'im. But we're not, we don't see that. Ubenimshal, ein hakavana kipshutai, shahaya olam echad, shalahava, mekolach kibul menu chela. It's not the simple pshat that this is one thing called love that Hashem has, and He gives out pieces to everybody. Olam ahava echadu. There's one table. There's one thing that's called ahava. V'kulonu mizahim aysai, and all of us know how to identify that. You feel love for your child. You feel love for your parents. You feel love for your kugel, whatever it is. But you only see a piece of that thing that's called ahav. A piece, a tip of the iceberg. That's all you see. For some people, it's only love of the kugel. That's all. For another person, it's a bigger piece that he sees. The tablecloth or the covering of the iceberg is pulled back a little bit further. But the reality is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichnis kol echad mi'itanu lebeis gnozav. That Hashem has brought each and every one of us into His palace, into His inner chamber. L'toich olam ahava, into that reality that's called ahava, infinite love. V'hu yoyshev sham al ezer shuhi meshbetzes. U'ladavaneinu roim onorak meshbetzes. But in that palace of Hashem, or leading into the palace of Hashem, a person might be standing on one tile, on one piece. But that's all he sees, is his one piece. He doesn't see. He's not ready to see. He's not interested in seeing. He never heard about. Whatever it is, for whatever reason, he doesn't see the entire palace or the chamber of the king. That's called ahava. L'davanenu roim on a rak mishbetzes. We just see a little square, a little piece. Av l'ahava zu ein l'gvul. But the ahava itself is ein l'gvul. Ein l'gvul. You understand from here, the borders of Avodas Hashem and the world of the Baal Shem Tov, how they expanded. This is a much longer discussion, and we've had it in the past, but just to bring it into the context of what we're learning. Yiddishkeit no longer became just a thing of the shul and of the Beis HaMedrash. It's how do you eat? How do you sleep? The Baal Shem Tov, Yiddishkeit expanded into, it went beyond the Gevulim. Because the Baal Shem Tov was pulling the tablecloth back. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the Arizal, they were pulling it back to show more. And then Yiddishkeit, we began to realize more and more and more that Yiddishkeit is something that fills everything. Hashem fills everything. Hashem is everything. And therefore, this moment of eating can be something that's infinite. Not the piece of food. The piece of food is a piece of food. It's an ounce or 2 ounces, whatever it is, but it's something else. It's something else. But the Avnei Nezer said that the reason we make Havdalah is because we have to stop Shabbos, because otherwise Shabbos will continue. It's not that, oh, finally I can get to the 6:15 showing of Alice in Wonderland or Mary Poppins, you understand? So you look at the watch and now it's night, so Shabbos is over. Why did the tzaddikim go with Shabbos with Lava Malka after 12 o'clock, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning? Avnei Nezer says that you need something to stop the flow of Shabbos. Because those tzaddikim lived in the palace. But they were instructed by God that they have to come to Sunday and put on tefillin. So you have to stop, you have to stop this. You have to do something to put the tablecloth. You got to do something to hold this back. Otherwise, Shabbos goes on. Shabbos doesn't really end. when Mashiach comes, it'll be revealed. How, what, I don't know, but it'll be revealed. Shabbos, menucha l'chayilav. It's nachla b'limitzarim. It's not something that ends. There's an artificial border that's placed upon Shabbos, and we say, hinei ka yishu asiyad l'echad, baruch ha-mavdu ben kardesh l'chal. It doesn't really stop. That's why it's Yom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos, Yom Echad L'Shabbos, Yom Shein L'Shabbos. It doesn't really stop. What does it mean that Hashem rested on Shabbos? Seriously, that's this week's parasha, no? Like so one of my grandchildren asked me, Zadie, what does that mean that God rested on Shabbos? But then how does the world go on? Like then I thought Hashem is creating the world all the time. Like, you know, that's what they told me. So I thought, but then how is he resting? Because I, like everything seems to be working. So he imagined, my granddaughter imagined, she imagined that Hashem resting means that he's sleeping or reading like some mystery novel on the couch. I don't know. So Hashem's not working on Shabbos. That means that we should be in big trouble. What does that mean? Hashem is constantly creating. Anybody that learned Shari'ich v'Emunah, you learn the Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit, of Nefesh HaChaim, and of Tanya, you know that creation is something that every single second Hashem is creating. Yehi Raki, every single second. Yehi Or. So what does that mean that Hashem, it's my granddaughter's question, it's a good question, no? So what does it mean that Hashem is resting on Shabbos? The Nefesh HaChaim says, Netanya says, he's busy as a bee. He's busy creating everything, every second. Any opinions there from the adults? You could press your buzzer. Just if your granddaughter would ask you the question, or your little kid, what do you say? What's the answer to the question?
Rest doesn't mean sleeping.
So what does it mean?
Rest doesn't mean sleeping. What does it mean? It means, I get back to you. Somebody else, please.
It means stopping to cover himself.
Very good. Okay. Who said that?
Jeff.
Me and Shalom Yona teamed up.
Shalom Yona. Yeah. Okay, that's the Chavrusa, Jeff and Shalom Yona. Okay, so I'll tell you what the Alter Rebbe says. I'm not gonna explain it because Shalom Yona is right. That's the context of what we're learning. Shalom Yona, I didn't know you're still in Meridian. I'll tell you what the Tanya says. The Tanya says that there's machshava, there's dibro and ma'isa. On Shabbos, the dibro and ma'isa of creation stop, but the machshava of Shabbos continues. Hashem's thoughts of creation continue. The dibro and the ma'isa, Hashem spoke and created. Hashem created. The dibro and ma'isa, all of that stops on Shabbos. And there's an aliyah ha'olamus, and the worlds go up to a higher madrega, to the place that's called Hashem's thinking. All of creation on Shabbos takes place through Hashem's thinking, not through His words and His actions. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. It's a huge thing. Whereas my Enikel's question is a good question. Is Hashem busy on Shabbos or is He not? Is He resting or is He not resting? The answer is, He's resting in one aspect of how He's revealed to us, but in the deepest level of how He's resting, rather in the external aspect of how He's revealed to us, but internally, He's constantly thinking of creation, and Hashem's thoughts create. That's what the Tanya says. I mean, there's a lot to it. It's a whole shmuz. Point being, that the entirety of Hashem's love is what you and I have within us. Because He didn't give us a piece of it. Hashem has an inner chamber, a world of machshava. And as Jews, we alone are privileged to have the buttons to press, the code, to be able to get to that place, to be able to enter into that reality. Now, I'm not going into a discussion of how close can a person, because even there, of course, we're not talking about Etzem Hashem himself, Kivyochel, his infinite essence. But the Rashab talks about this in Tafrei Samach Vav, about how far can one go? Etzem Shmoy, Shmoy be Etzem. I'm not going to go into it now. But the world of Ahava by Hashem is unlimited. Creation, what Shlomo Yonah said is true. Creation is something which is unstoppable because Hashem doesn't stop thinking. He stopped speaking. He stopped doing, so to speak. But he didn't stop thinking. Now, the difference between you and me and Hashem is that Hashem's thoughts create. But Hashem, at the same time, as far as Dibur and Ma'is are concerned, Hashem, by Shabbos Bereishis, Hashem rested. And every Shabbos, there's an Aliyah. Every Shabbos, there's an Aliyah that you and I can go to that place that's called Hashem's Machshav is inside. Big things are happening over there on Shabbos too. Big, big, big things are happening there on Shabbos. It's not in that place of Machshav, it's not about turning on lights and tearing paper. That's the last stop in this world. That's the part of the table that we see. But you and I have, as Jews, we have a Nefesh Elokis. We have a Neshama. And because of that, we are invited. Our neshama partook of Hashem's shalashudas at his table. And you and I have that experience of ahava, of shalashudas, and so on and so forth, from the palace itself. Not that there was a distribution given out to poor people, a piece of love, or a piece of Shabbos. That's not how it works. B'divrei Chazal HaKadoshim, Matzino Alkach, Moshal Nifla. There's an amazing Moshal in Chazal. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amalei Keslo Avin Gamliel, Amrisu Kol Be'asor Shchinta Shari Kam Shchintika. You Jews taught, you teach that every time you get 10 Jews together in a minyan, the Shechina comes there. Even Governor Cuomo knows that 10 Jews make a minyan. That when there are 10 people together, the Shechina comes there. So kama Shechinta ika. So this person, the Caesar, the Caesar, he asked this Roman governor, whatever, he asked Rabbi Gamliel, so how many Shechinas are there? It means Hashem gives, he figured that Hashem gives a little bit of Shechina to every shul. If it's a shul that seats 1,000, then there are 1,000 pieces of Shechina. If it's a shul with 10 people, there are 10 pieces of Shechina. Atamarim shekol mokim sheyeshnam asar Yehudim ha-Shechina shayra. You Jews say that everywhere there are 10 Jews, the Shechina comes. So they think of that like Santa Claus, you understand? So the guy's granddaughter, Lahavdil, is asking, like, how's Santa coming to everybody at the same time? That's like probably a big question about the Christmas tree, no? What's the story with Santa? What's up with Santa? And then the kid's whole life falls apart when she realizes that Santa's some chubby guy from down the block. They got a red outfit and picked up something in Macy's. I don't know if Macy's is still open. And then the kid says, I thought Santa comes, you know. Lahav the Elf Alfa Avdol is like, how did Eliyahu Novi come to my house and to at the uncle's house by tonight by Pesach. What's going on? So how does Hashem come to the shul? He gives out pieces of Shechina. He's got Shechina distribution time. Shechina, 10 people in the shul, 10 pieces of Shechina. B'roivam Hadris Melech, you got 100 people in the shul, are registered, 100 people are registered, here you go, 100 Shechinas. Like Santa Claus. Mahavdol. That's what he's asking the guy. Kama Shechinas Yeshna? Hari Baruch Hashem Yesh Alfei Bat HaKnesset B'Yisrael, there are thousands of shuls. V'chol Beis Knesset M'Sasrim L'Fachas Asar M'Spalim. And every shul you have at least a minion. If it's up and running, the shul, they have a minion everywhere. So you got shuls in Alaska. You got shuls in Dubai. There's a shul in Dubai. So the Shechina, so what's the story with the Shechina? Amalei Amai Al Shimshu B'Bei Seg De Kesa. So Rabbi Gamliel said, how does the sunlight come in? How does the sun come into your house, into the palace? He asked this guy, the guy, he asked the guy, how does the sunlight come into your house? What do you mean? So the Kesar answered, the sun lights up the whole world. The sun lights up the whole world. Hashem is meir b'chol ha'olam. If the sun, who is one of the infinite servants that Hashem has is the sun that works for him. So Madach, the sun, which is one of infinite little helpers of Hashem, next page, lights up all places in the world, lights up everywhere in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmai, and Hashem himself, Alachas Kama V'Kama, Sheyoch Limotzi B'Harim B'Kremis B'Esa B'Nachas, then Alachas Kama V'Kama, Hashem is everywhere, could be everywhere in the world. The sun is everywhere. So Alachas Kama V'Kama Hashem. K'shenovin is Oymek HaTomun, Oymek HaTomun HaMashal, HaMashal, Novin Shuhu, Nochon L'Gabi Kol HaMidas Kulan. It's not just by Ahav, it's by all the Midas. When we're talking about the first of the Midas, which is Chesed, which is the source of all the Midas. Ein yoyis midas ahava achas, voyis ahava hibli midah. Ein lo gvul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein gvul, kivyochol gam lahavish lo ein gvul. It's not that he's giving out pieces, just open up your window. Open yourself up to Nevuah, you'll be a Navi. Open yourself up to Hashem's infinite love. And you'll be the Baal Shem Tov, you'll be the Chavetz Chaim, whatever it is. Open the window, open the shades. All of Chassidus is about turning, moving the shades over, pulling off the tablecloth. Mashiach is toy eretz mikvedecha. The whole world is shining with your covet, with your splendor. But if you have dark. No, Michla. No, I'm giving the shiur. I'm in the middle of the shiur. I'm sorry. If you have dark glasses, the blinds are closed. That's my lasso. You think that they're pieces of shechina, just like you think they're two tables. You think there's one table in the room, and it's this little piece of the table. So you only see a little piece of a Jew. Of yourself. You don't see a Navi. You see a little piece of yourself. Imkein mayi midas ahava, mida miloshen gvul. Kashe nigla rak chelik mein soif yishibe ahava. What does it mean a mida? Mida means when you see a certain aspect, a certain part of the infinite mida. Karam l'chelik ha-nigla, we call that part that we can experience, that we see, that we feel, we call that a mida. Ki yesh gvul l'mashe nigla, because it's that part of the table that I'm experiencing. So that's the midas ahava. Of a be'etzem ahavi achas. Ain't look for. But be'etzem, there are no pieces of love. There are no pieces of Shabbos. It's one shtick ahava. It's one cheftza of ahava. It's one cheftza of Shabbos. And that's why we look like we're separate bodies here in this world. So there's Dov, there's Shmuel, there's Jeff. We all look like we're separate pieces. But you know that that's not what we're called in the true reality of who we are. What are we called? Knesset Yisrael. It's one big neshama. Only down here we came down. This one's from the Bronx. This one's from Brooklyn. And we came down like separate things. But and different. But in the Shirish, it's one. It's one Indian. It's one Indian. That's the Shirish of Ahavas Yisrael. That's the Ahavas Yisrael that's in the world of Chassidus. It's a different Indian. It's going into that place of Knesset Yisrael. Not how am I supposed to deal with this problem that this guy is a vegetarian. I don't like vegetarians. This guy votes Democrat. I'm a Republican. And I'm going to overcome that with my Ahavas Yisrael. And I'm going to be down the Kafskos that if he would only be truly educated, then he would also be a Republican. Those are the Shmuzen of Ahavas Yisrael. Rachmanis. No, he's a Democrat. He believes in being a Democrat. I don't know how to stop out, but he believes in being a Democrat. Ibemis believes in that. So how can I love him now? Until now, I was being down the kafskus. So now I have to come to a new level. My Meshgiach told me that when he says that he's really a Democrat, Ibemis, he doesn't mean that. Or it's because somebody confused him. So you can still go on loving him. Or a Yankees Mets model, whatever you like. You can still go on loving him. Still. It's a different world. It's not a world of Democrat and Republican. It's a different world. It's called Knesset Yisrael. It's not a matter of how do I come to love this person. The deeper meaning of Ahavta Re'acha Kamoicha means Kamoicha Mamish. To love this person as yourself, because the truth is that you're not two different tables. It's just your one table with different tablecloths. So, one table with different tablecloths. This guy's got a Met tablecloth. This guy's got a Yankee tablecloth. Democrat, Republican, different tablecloths. This guy's a Chassidish tablecloth, a Litvish, a Svadish, a Taimanish. They're different tablecloths. It's the same. It's one table. We learned something very, very big today. We need to think about it. We'll continue next week, Mr. Shah. Cultivate.